That's their show on the radio. You don't like it? Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day, barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go, give you the best damn show on the radio, $1 million audience meets with your favorite host, $1 million connections, feel the force, most electric, most eclectic, listen to the shows where the pros expected, 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list, the best damn show on the radio, check this,
the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show and radio.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back once again to the Sports Authority and other stuff. I'm one of your hosts, Corey G, and this is what we do, I can't say every Tuesday, but a lot of Tuesdays, maybe even some Tuesdays, this is what we do. We get in here, we do a little sports talk. We also do a little bit of the other stuff, but before we go any further, let me bring my man in here. My man P-Dawg, what's going on with you, baby? How you doing today?
Hey, man, I'm good. How about yourself?
Man, I am, you know, I'm tired, man. I had a tough day at work. You know, went to work for an hour and had 8 hours off and went back for another hour. So, yeah, hard work, man. Came home, played a little Madden. You know, it's hard going to work twice a day, dog. People don't understand that. They think it's great that you can come home for 6 hours, 5 hours, and it's not fun. I'm saying that.
Right.
Just in case you're wondering.
Yeah. Okay.
Man.
All right. Okay. All I got to come say on. Is when one of those Chicago city officials is listening to the show and y'all names plastered in the newspaper again, and all of a sudden pay cuts start.
Hey.
Hey. It wasn't me.
Hey. I work for the government. The government set this up. The government knows what's going on. With that said, Paris. Football is back, baby. I can't explain how excited I am, man, to get back into the time of year that I think, I know for myself, is probably the best time of year because you've got college football, which I absolutely love. You've got the NFL. And you know right around the corner, you had Madden come out, you got college football, pro football, 2K coming out, NBA season, Major League playoff, fantasy football. I mean, does it get much better than this in like a three month stretch?
Not really. We had the
Olympics this year as well. I forgot about that. We had the Olympics as well. So, with that said, man, before we get to the NFL, we had a little college football action this weekend. I don't want to say what surprised because it's the first game of the season and they're college kids. So, when you have a turnover, I don't know if you can say surprise, but which game did you not see coming? Which game kind of caught you off guard a little bit?
USC is trash. That's what caught me off guard because we got a lot of boviating. Can I use that word? Is that Stephen A. Smith word? I had a lot of USC fans boviating during the offseason. Everybody pointed towards this game. Everybody wanted a piece of Bama. They couldn't wait to get Bama on that field. because, you know, they're in the Pac-12, and I don't know if you know this, Corey, but the Pac-12 is a gauntlet. And, you know, it's hard for teams to survive out there in that treacherous Pac-12, where, you know, Oregon and USC and UCLA, you know, those powerhouses have been winning a lot of national championships lately. You know, that real tough conference out there. And, boy,
they were gonna
teach Alabama a lesson. You know, recruit. I've been hearing about USC recruiting classes and this player and this linebacker and our offensive line, and now we got the right coach, and they were trash. I think Alabama could have scored 70 if they really, really tried.
I think they just scored again. As a matter of fact,
I think so.
For me, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't really expect much from USC simply because all the recruits that they were talking about are freshmen. You don't win national championships typically. Typically. You don't win national championships with freshmen and redshirt freshmen and sophomores. You typically win national championships with juniors and seniors. And, of course, you have your freshmen and sophomores sprinkled in here and there. USC, I mean, Alabama, and I hate Alabama. I hate everything about them. But there's
Everybody
a difference between my personal feelings and me giving an assessment. And if you're giving an assessment of Alabama, it starts with Alabama. I mean, you know, when you're talking about college football today, this year, it starts at Alabama. Now, you know, I like Ohio State, but I'm no fool. It starts with Alabama, and then it goes from there. They retool. And when you think you have them down, they retool. And when you do have them down, they retool. I hate Nick Saban. There's a part of me that doesn't even want to give him credit, because the school kind of recruits itself at this point, kind of like Coach K. You know, it's like, man, school kind of recruits itself. Duke recruits itself. I mean, I got to give the man credit because he's part of the equation, obviously. But you still got to keep all those people happy. You still got to keep all those kids happy. People talk down on Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson still had to keep everybody involved and keep everybody happy. You know, with Kobe, with Mike.
Well,
you got to keep everybody happy. So I got to give Saban a little bit of credit.
You have to give him credit because even though we have these natural powers that, you know, like you said, recruit themselves, it still takes a coach to come in there and revitalize that pipeline. Like we've seen at Ohio State, like we've seen at Michigan, and like we've seen in Texas with Charlie Strong. You know, when Charlie Strong took over in Texas, they had a team where not one player was drafted in the NFL. How the heck does that happen in a place like Texas? So even though these, you know, like Alabama certain schools, they still struggle. Like a school that we grew up, you know, Penn State, during our time, Penn State was always a powerhouse. And ever since the Joe Paterno scandal, they sort of struggled to regain that national prominence, you know. Like I said, you know, I already mentioned Jim Harbaugh. He's coming to Michigan. You know, they look like they're on the right way. I think it's going to take them a couple more years. But, you know, that era was definitely pointing up. You know, when Urban Meyer came into Ohio State, automatically those guys took off. But I agree with you. The thing with Alabama is they are that phrase that we hear about, we don't rebuild, we reload. Because each year, it's the same team but different players. You know, the names may change, but you know what you're going to get from Alabama football. And that's been a consistent theme. And I hate Saban as much as you do, but for that reason, you got to sort of tip your cap. Because those guys,
year
where it's like, okay, after that game, I'm already thinking, who in the heck can beat Bama? You know, can somebody in the SEC sneak up and get them one game? And the key is beating them, not only one game, but beating them twice.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when they lose during the regular season, they always seem to find their way into that damn SEC championship game, it seems like. And once they get there, it's like they won't lose. I don't know. I just want somebody to take them out. I thought it was going to be LSU. 2 years ago, I said, this is a year for LSU. Because, you know, most teams, and this is where USC fans get in trouble. They never seem to be realists. You know how, like you just mentioned about the recruiting class. You know, they never sit back and go, okay, well, this is a freshman. You know what? Yeah, so let's give this town a little time to mature. You know, 2 years from now, we can compete for a national championship. No, every year is national championship year. It doesn't matter. Every year is national championship year. And the thing, you know, I thought it was going to be LSU year 2 years ago. I said this was a year for LSU. But looking at their quarterback play, and I know, you know, a frequent caller of the show, Edward Perkins, has been screaming fire, Les Miles. And I tried to get a little top cover for Les Miles a couple years ago. But Les, it's to the point where Les has to go. I mean, he honestly does, because when you look at that program, and it's not the talent, because a team like LSU, they get the best recruits. You know, that quarterback at LSU, I'm pretty sure if we went and went on Rivals and did a little research, I might do it if we get up the radio. Those quarterbacks at LSU are all 4 and 5 stars. You know, these aren't walk-ons. These aren't 2 stars. You know, this is just a William and Mary quarterback. All these guys are rated high. So that tells me one of two things. Either A, you're targeting the wrong players, or B, you don't have the ability to, quote-unquote, coach them up once you get them there. And either way, right. Less is in trouble because they had the whole offseason to prepare, and they looked bad. The quarterback threw, what, 3 passes in the first quarter? And it's to the point where, what did you work on all offseason? Because this is the same issues that got you in trouble. Because remember, he was fired last year, and somehow he still kept his job. You know, they pretty much had him gone. They had sent the janitor to remove his name tape off the door. Then at the last minute, he got a reprieve. At the last second.
Yeah. Well, 347-637-3859. If you're listening to us on the BDSIRnetwork.com website, give us a call. If you're already called in, press that number one button, and you can get in on the conversation, or you can start a conversation all on your own. We don't have to talk about what we're talking about. We can talk about what you want to talk about. Paris, with that said, when you look at the SEC and you look at Bama, you look at LSU, Bama is everything LSU is supposed
to be. Right.
Is that a fair, you think that's a fair assessment? Bama is everything LSU is supposed to be. Maybe not as dominant, but they're supposed to be in the running every year.
Right. I'll go there with you.
College football, you just want to be in the running now, because now you don't have to be one or two. You just need to be in the top six and give yourself an opportunity. Just be in the running.
What you don't expect to see is that a team have of a caliber of LSU, and not just picking on LSU. I'm just sure there's other teams we could think of, you know. But to see a certain team of that caliber have a hole at a certain area, and it goes on for 4 and 5 years, you know, with the quarterback play. Even in Texas, you know, we've mentioned them before. You know, Charlie Strong came in, you know, the cupboard was bare, and now they have a freshman quarterback that, you know, Bouchel, I believe that's his name, where you could go, okay, Charlie Strong did what he had to do. He got him a quarterback in here, in this program. And you look at Les Miles, and you're going, okay, how can we not have a better quarterback than this? And also you have to look at the coaching staff. You know, a guy brought up a good point about Nick Saban's coaching staff this morning, and he showed the coaches that you know, he has hired, and he's hired real good coaches. And maybe with LSU, you know, because a lot of times it's your coaches. You know, head coaches are spread very thin. So your assistant coaches, that offensive coordinator, that defensive coordinator, those are the guys that really might be pulling a lot of the load as far as player development, you know, and installing the game plan that you sort of oversee. So those guys are really important. Maybe they should have let Jimbo Fisher go. Maybe they should have fired Les and kept Jimbo Fisher. I mean, if we're going down that road, that probably would be the
I think the other part of it, you know, I watch a lot of college football. And, you know, I look at the recruiting websites, and you know how I am. I get into it. I think part of the problem is it kind of goes back to what you said earlier. Who are you recruiting? Are you simply recruiting the top-rated players because they're the top-rated players? Or are you recruiting
right.
the top-rated players that fit your system? I think another part of it goes to what I alluded to about keeping everybody happy. They've had players come in and transfer out. And you have to wonder when you have that much talent. And I guess that's kind of like the gift and the curse side of it. The gift, you have plenty of talent. The curse, you have plenty of talent. And
right.
that's where you have to give Nick Saban some credit, is that he gets all of these top guys, and not only are they top guys, they play well in his system. It doesn't necessarily mean that it translates into them being professional football players. But for college,
mm-hmm.
they translate to what he wants to do, and they stick around. So, Will,
right.
like, I mean, so you look at Saban's main players, they're not freshmen. They're not sophomores. They tend to be juniors and seniors. Freshmen and sophomores contribute as backups.
Right.
And the juniors and seniors are what really drive, especially at the skill positions, specifically, I should say, at the skill positions. And I'm not saying he's never had a young cat out there. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying that you have to give Saban credit for the ability to keep them happy. We're talking about kids nowadays, Paris, that feel the need to get on Snapchat and ESPN and television and announce their college choice. So they think they're pros. They think they're important. They want to be catered to. They switch schools because somebody didn't call them for 3 days. Now you have to keep these guys happy. Once you get them, they still want to be coddled. They still want to be held into a high esteem. They still want to have their butt kissed, basically. And it's hard to do that when you're losing and they're not playing.
Yes, and Brandon Harris was a 4-star out of I knew his name always sounded familiar. He came out of Parkway High School, which is in Bossier, Louisiana. Very familiar. I've been to games at that high school. So this was a, you know, highly touted guy who was chased by Alabama, Arizona State, Auburn, you know, a lot of the other.
Would that be considered? I know it's a home state kid. Would that be considered a hometown kid? I'm not familiar with Bossier compared.
Louisiana cleans up, and I mean LSU cleans up Louisiana. You're a Louisiana kid.
I mean,
you go to LSU.
I mean, what's the display at high school for the campus? Do you know that I'm talking about?
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to see.
Say,
if it's kind of a hometown deal.
I'd say about 6 hours.
Okay, so it's not necessarily hometown, but it's still in the state. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. Now, let's move it on, Paris, to another college game. I'm not going to say I was completely surprised by Houston, because in our pool, I had Oklahoma winning, but I only gave them 1 point in our conference pool because I knew
it
was good. But mm-hmm. I just did not know. Again, it's college. You don't know how last year translates to this year, especially
right.
with a team like Houston. With Alabama, you can say you know they have talented guys coming in. You know that they have a certain caliber of player coming back. With Houston, I wasn't sure. I knew they could score and get up and down. I wasn't sure about the defense. Man, Houston showed me something because they look good across the board on both sides of the ball. You know, I mean, of course they could use some work. They jumped up 9 spots in the rankings. What was your thought on that game?
Houston is picking up from where they left off last year. Houston has a superstar coach in the making in Herman, the assistant from Ohio State. And I said in the sports
yes,
group earlier, Houston fans better enjoy him because at the end of the season, one of these major schools, LSU, cough, is going to back up the Brinks truck and say, take as much as you want, as much as you can handle, and come be our coach. He has them playing at a very high level. It was a combination of two things. One, Houston's still very good. And two, you can never trust Oklahoma and Bob Stoops. This is what they sort of do. I mean, if there's any team that always seems to be the victim of the we're going to take down the big guy, it's Oklahoma. They've been doing this ever since the Boise State game, and it hasn't stopped. That's just what they do. So was I shocked? Yes, but I only gave it 1.2 because I had a feeling. I'm like, this is going to be close. But then Oklahoma went down the field in the first drive, and I was like, okay, me and Percy Boyce here, you know? they got them right where they want them. And, boy, that did not turn out the way I thought it would. Good game, though, but you're right, man. Houston, they got some horses. You know, those kids are good. And I listened to another debate about the Big 12 expanding and possibly adding Houston and BYU, but how the coaches in the Big 12 wouldn't want Houston because they located in Texas, and how that would give them an automatic recruiting advantage. And basically the fear is Houston could really become a power and become better than the teams that's already in that conference.
Well, they need to be concerned because I think my man's name was Ward Jr., I think was his name. The quarterback of Houston, Ward. He put on a show. He put on a show. And I'll be looking forward to watching more of their games. I do need to go back to LSU for a quick second. And I was talking to my cousin before the game, and he asked me, do you think Wisconsin can beat LSU? And this was my response. I was like, they can. I don't know. I said, Wisconsin is one of those teams that you don't know any of their players, bunch of dudes. I said, it's very much like their basketball team. They're just a bunch of dudes. You don't really know them. Nobody stands out. But yet they consistently produce. They're consistently consistent. They're good consistently. So I told him, I was like, I don't want to take this. I don't want to take the cop out, you know, the easy way. I said, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anybody at Wisconsin. But I know that Wisconsin changed coaches. I know that they come in, and I know all they do is run the system.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they don't recruit the high-rated players necessarily. They recruit guys that run the system. And so there's a part of me, Paris, just real quick, and I'm gonna be done with LSU. There's a part of me that we're killing LSU, but there's another part of me that says maybe we should just give Wisconsin credit. I mean, it's like, you know, they weren't ranked coming in, but we all know the rankings are for television. The rankings are for gamblers. Texas wasn't ranked either. And all they did was, you know, put Notre Dame in the mixer.
I sort of see what you're saying, but I slightly disagree because I think we're looking at a 3-loss Wisconsin team by the time the season is over. Whenever we've seen Wisconsin
play.
I mean, Wisconsin's a team where, I mean, quite honestly, they aren't going to get the big-time recruits either. So it's sort of like the basketball. They get guys that sort of fit. They know they're going to be there 4 years. Like the kid they have in basketball now. I'm sure we'll get to that in college basketball. But it seems like he's been there for like 9 years already. And if I say his name, you'll know exactly who I'm talking to. But whenever we see Wisconsin, you know, make it to the Rose Bowl or, you know, play these out-of-conference games, you usually can see the talent disparity. You know, you can usually see, okay, these teams are just athletically superior to Wisconsin. And sooner or later, your better athletes take over. So going into the game with LSU, they come in, they're highly rated. You know, they're highly ranked. This is a year, myself included, I'm like, okay, they can make it to the Final Four. This could be, you know, this is a year they get into the National Championship Tournament. And they came out there, and even though you know that those guys are better, they just didn't play right. You know, you got to give Wisconsin credit for sticking to their game plan. But at the same time, LSU laid a dog on the egg. They just flat out laid an egg. And I put a lot of that on Les Miles.
I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to keep it moving. Week four, well, I don't know if it's week four, but here's their fourth game, Michigan State at Michigan State. They follow that up at Michigan. Then they get a home game against Ohio State. Then they go to Iowa. Then they get Nebraska at home. That stretch will be the end all, one way or the other, for the Wisconsin Badgers football program here. And that's a strong stretch, man. You're talking number 12, number 5, number 4, number 18, and an unranked Nebraska team at this time.
I don't know who does these Big Ten schedules, but the Big Ten schedules are all like Michigan. Michigan has Cupcake City, and in the last three is Iowa, Michigan State, Ohio State. I'm like, who did this to Michigan? You know, and now you're saying they're scheduled for Wisconsin. I'm like, well, we can't spread this out because that's like a hell month.
Well, you know, they always play Ohio State. Michigan always plays Ohio State the last game of the year.
Last game,
so
right.
Regardless of anything else, those two teams play the last game of the year. And then the conference, the way they set up the East and the West, the conferences has something to do with it as well. It's really weird how they even broke those teams up. But we need Illinois to step up so they can be part of the conversation because they're on the side that's really not, quote unquote, difficult. With that said, Pierce, let's keep it moving. I'm trying to think. Ohio State won by a bunch. Michigan won by a bunch. TCU, Washington won by a bunch. Iowa won by a bunch. Really nothing else stood out from
off the top of my head. Tennessee having a close call. Clemson game. The Clemson game was pretty tight, too. I feel like I might have been over.
But I'm not really surprised by that. No, I watched it, but two things about that game. One, we expect Clemson to lose at some point, even though, you know, they made it all the way last year. You know, we expect Clemson to lose at some point. Hey, every year you expect that one game that they're going to lose. And Auburn, again, just another case of they have talented players. Will they put it together? So not completely surprised. I will say as a fan, though, Paris, I enjoy the fact that the first weekend we had really good games with what we thought or what are predicted to be really good teams. Nobody wanted to see Ohio State Bowling Green. Nobody wanted to see Michigan Hawaii. People wanted to see Houston, Oklahoma. They wanted to see LSU. They wanted to see USC versus Bama. We had some Clemson,
Nobody wanted to see Illinois and Murray State?
The whole game.
Yeah, totally. Nobody wants to see a powerhouse take on a cupcake.
No, and look, I was in. Here's the funny thing. I go into the boards to the Illinois boards, and I'm looking at all these people excited, and I'm like, y'all do realize that we played a much lesser team, right? All Illinois did is what they were supposed to. You're not an Illinois fan. No, I'm an Illinois fan. I'm just a realist. I'm not going to get excited about beating Murray State. Sorry.
Look, you're an Illinois fan. You get excited about any little victory. Because I tell you what. I can't. That excitement was, but not only did we beat Murray State, it's that Lovie Smith has us pointed in the right direction.
I mean, it was an appearance. It was a good thing.
Look, Lovie Smith has back-to-back 10-win seasons. He'll build a man a statue. All right, that's Illinois.
10-win seasons. If he wins eight, they're throwing a parade.
that's all he has to do.
We know
we'll never win a national championship. We know we aren't going to win a Big Ten. We know we aren't going to be in the Final Four ever. Hey. But if you can win double-digit games and make it to a January 1st bowl game, that's it. Done.
Paris, I don't want to be rude. Figure games, we're gonna be in a running for the top four because double figures means we haven't lost in the Big Ten.
No, because they play 13 games.
11.
So you can go 10-3.
Double figures puts us in the running. I'm not gonna let you steal my joy. With that, with me taking my joy back. Now I tried to pull this clip up, Harrison. I don't know if it's the right one because I've never used it. So I'm going to press play and see what happens.
That's it.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, baby? Yeah.
Make you feel, well, actually depressed. Sunday, when everybody is sitting on their couch Sunday and that music comes on, and some of you guys will be just waking up, some will be coming in from a night of partying, some will be up early making breakfast, whatever your deal is, I will be driving through New Mexico back to Arizona because my daughter has a taekwondo tournament Saturday. And you know,
I couldn't get out of that, huh?
Options, you know? I'm like, do I go to my in law? I'm thinking, do I pull my card of bubble guts? That's usually, you know, my normal go to. But I'm like, we're leaving on Friday, so I can't pull that. I'm like, is this one where I tell the wife, you got it? I can't do that. That one won't work either. So yeah, I have no choice but to bite the bullet on this.
Yeah, see, that's
but
wild.
I will be back. Yeah, you're not married like another month. I will be back.
I got a month and a half, man. I'm riding with this for another month and a half, brother.
You do what you got to do. But I should be back by the second game. But yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to Thursday.
Okay.
I mean, I'm ready, man. Monday night, two games. Oh, man, it's woo. Who do we
Denver
have
and Carolina. We have Carolina at Denver on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday night, yes, we have a Tom Brady-less New England team at your crib in Arizona.
Okay.
The first game I mentioned it, Pittsburgh-Washington. The second game, outside of fantasy football, the field could open and the Rams and 49ers could be swallowed up, and I would not miss them, except for fantasy football stats.
And I will be watching because I have a little stock in Tavon Austin, so I'll be watching that game.
Carlos Hyde is the only player I have between these two squads, period. And I don't even know if he's starting.
I'm not too excited about that game, but I like what the NFL has done there. They're not slick because every team has to be on national TV at least once. So you play these
guys.
They've
got two of them at one time.
Yeah. You got it. It's opening night. Everybody's so excited for football. You know what I mean? It's sort of.
Nobody's going to care that it's Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Nobody cares because it's football. We don't care. They're 0-0. Nobody cares. Well, we're going to watch it because it's football. Well played, Goodell. Well played.
Hey, he's a lot of things. Damn fool isn't one of them. If you want to jump in on the conversation, don't forget to press that number one. You can jump in. You don't have to talk about what we're talking about. We can talk about what you want to talk about. With that said, Paris, I know you mentioned earlier that we were going to do the the head up. Is this something where you want to keep track for the entire year, and then see how we at the end? How do you want to play this?
Yeah, I figured since you're like the primary host, you'll actually keep the track of it, and yeah, we'll do it like that. See how
not a primary host. I'm one of the hosts.
Oh.
But I appreciate your shade to make me do all the work. That was a real pat me on the back and kicked me in the ass at the same time. I've never been patted on the back and kicked in the ass at the same time. That's amazing how you tried to pull that off. I just want you to know that I know that you know that I know that I know what's going on. I don't want you to think you got over them.
Okay,
like I told one of my supervisors back in the day. I said you might screw me over, but I want you to know that I know that you're screwing me over. That way you won't enjoy it as much. So let's do it then. Let's get it cracking. First game of the season, Paris. We have the Carolina Panthers going into Denver. Let's see, how long do we have on this show? We got a little bit of time. Let's not overdo it, but let me just give me, what are your thoughts on this game? Who are you picking as a winner? And while you're doing that, I'm gonna start the stat sheet. Keep it going. What you got?
We're Carolina and Denver, right? You start off there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh my good God Almighty! I'll go Carolina. I just Trevor Siemian. I can't do it. So I'll go Carolina.
Yeah. Give me if you have any quick thoughts on the game.
Good game. I think it'll be very spirited, highly competitive, but I think Carolina comes in with sort of the edge, the payback factor, even though Cam's been downplaying it. Hey, this isn't a part two. This is the start of a new season. That's what you're supposed to say, Cam. Fair enough, but we all know you guys want a little payback. But I think that I just don't know how this quarterback is gonna play out. I really don't. And, you know, Carolina still will have a very formidable defense. Kadarius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders actually catch passes now. C.J. Anderson. I don't know. It's a part of me that really wants to go with Denver because they'll be at home. You got the emotion of the championship. You know, it's Thursday night. Everybody's watching. Maybe the new quarterback thing works in their favor. You know, maybe Carolina really doesn't know what this guy can and cannot do yet. So, you know what? That
right.
That being said, to hell with it. I'm switching. Give me the Broncos. Give me the Broncos.
Okay. All right. Well, you can have the Broncos. I'm going to stick with Carolina. I just think Carolina comes in equally as experienced. A little payback maybe on the docket. You know, a little something from last year. Cam's going to have something to prove. I think the Denver defense also will have something to prove. They need to prove that it wasn't a fluke that last year was, you know, is the model of, you know, that's what they do. That last year wasn't just last year. It's going to be what they do. I think the biggest change, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like Peyton Manning tore it up last year, but he was still Peyton Manning, and you still had to respect the name. You had to respect the name on the back and the number on the front when you played against their offense. With that said, like you said, it's a rookie quarterback. I think Carolina's defense is good enough to screw with his head a little bit. He wasn't a first-round pick quarterback. He went to Northwestern. I'm not going to sit here and wish ill on the kid. I hope he has a successful career for what it's worth, but I don't think it starts on Thursday night. That said, I'm taking Carolina. And I want to see Kelvin Benjamin come back and have a good game. I have him in fantasy. And I just want to see the kid come back and kind of get things going again. You know, I want to see him get things going again. So with that said, you're taking Denver, I'm taking Carolina. We're going to keep it moving. Green Bay and Jacksonville. I'll take this one first. Green Bay is Green Bay. Jacksonville is Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville will put up some points. Blake Bortles is getting better. He has a nice set of receivers. The running game needs to improve, specifically when they get inside the five to ten, you know, when they have those first, second, third, fourth and goals, they need to be able to run the ball. That's usually where they, from when I've watched them, at least that's when they seem to struggle, you know, with their running game more so than any other time. With that said, Green Bay has Jordy Nelson coming back, Randall Cobb, Eddie Lacy is supposedly look better, and they still have Aaron Rodgers. I'm taking Green Bay. Who you got?
I'm going Green Bay because, like you said, Green Bay is Green Bay, Jacksonville. Jacksonville is the ultimate team of winning the offseason. You know, everybody talks about, man, they had $60 billion to spend, and you know what that tells me when you have that much money to spend? That your roster sort of sucks. That's what that tells me. And that you're going to overpay for everybody that you have. So I think Jacksonville, while on the upswing, no doubt, because, I mean, they've been putrid, but I think that they're going to disappoint this year because you see people picking them to go 8-8, 10-6. I mean, it's crazy. I'll take Green Bay. Like you said, pedigree sort of counts in this one, and I see the Pack winning.
Sounds like a plan. So we both have Green Bay on that one. All right, let's keep it moving. Buffalo, Baltimore. This one's you. I'll let you pick this one first. We'll alternate.
Buffalo, Baltimore. Baltimore's at home, correct? No, it's in Buffalo.
In Baltimore. It's at Baltimore. I'm going to do them all in order. Road team to home team. So you got Buffalo at Baltimore.
Give me Buffalo in the coach to be fired at the end of the season bowl. Give me Buffalo because I think they'll just have a little bit more than Baltimore. And if anybody knows who's going to be running the ball for Baltimore, please let everybody know because nobody has an idea. So I'll go with Buffalo. They're just a safer bet. I don't know what's going on with Baltimore. So give me the Bills.
Yeah, I'm also taking Buffalo simply because, I mean, I guess if I had to choose something, their defense I think is a little bit better. And I believe that their offense is better than Baltimore's. I think they have more playmakers as far as when you look at Sammy Watkins, when you look at Shady McCoy. Tyrod Taylor, he's going to have to prove a little something. Well, I guess he doesn't have to because he got paid. But he should want to prove something. So I guess the question will be, will he come out game one trying to prove everything in one game, or will he come out and just play football? I am going to take Buffalo because, again, as you said, I don't even think Steve Smith is playing. I know he has the Achilles issue. And you don't know who's going to be a running back. I don't know if it's going to be Terrence West. I don't know. They re-signed Justin Forsett. I don't know if he's the number one guy. Who knows? So I'm taking Buffalo. The next game I'll take first is Chicago at Houston. Well, we're both Bears fans, but I can't let my fandom step in the way. I don't think our defense is going to be able to really do enough to stop Houston. I hope I'm wrong. But where we're weakest at as a team defensively is at the corner position. And Houston has a couple of receivers that I like in Fuller and Hopkins. And then you add Miller to the offensive side of the ball from the running back position. The only question is Osweiler. Is he ready to be the leader, the guy? Not the guy that's in there for a couple of weeks. Is he ready to be the guy? On the defensive side of the ball, I'm still waiting for Jadeveon Clowney to, show up, period. I don't even notice the guys. We played a game against them. I didn't even know if the guy played or not. I have no idea. I don't know what's up with this cat. J.J. Watt reportedly is playing. With that kind of talent on defense, you would think that they would be able to do a little bit more. Jadeveon's been a letdown. But even with all of that going on in Baltimore, in Houston, I'm taking Houston. I'm taking Houston to win this game.
I mean, Houston's at home. Technically, this game, they should win. Clowney's playing. Clowney's good. J.J. Watt is back.
Yep.
The only issue that Houston has that no one's really talking about is that their left tackle, Dwayne Brown, is out. He lost his center during training camp. The Bears just signed a real good guard sitting from Green Bay. So that's
I like that signing, by the way, too.
Line. Yeah.
Yeah, we take something from them. Well, I should say take. They gave something away, and we took it.
Right. So, but, I just got a funny feeling the Bears are going to play up. And I'm not being a homer on this, but I just got a funny feeling that the Bears, it's going to be one of those games where they're going to pleasantly shock us. I noticed this quiet confidence, with the coaches and the players where, I'm looking for the panic meter and everybody's basically telling me, calm down, it was a preseason, don't worry, we're ready. So I'm going to go with the Bears I guess it'll be an upset, a minor upset.
All right, so you take Chicago, I'm taking Houston. Here, that is for the record, this is one that I hope you get right, and I hope I get wrong. Cleveland at Philly. I don't think Carson Wentz is playing. I know they've said he'll be the starter when he's healthy.
He's starting.
On the other side of the ball. Oh, he is going to start? Okay. So then we have two new quarterbacks. We have RG3 on one side, Carson Wentz on the other. Both offenses leave a lot to be desired. Both offenses have some talented players at skill positions. Defensively, Cleveland will be better, although they just traded their former number one pick for a sixth round pick, I think is what they got for Justin. I'm having a brain cramp. Cornerback.
I want to say Gilbert.
Gilbert. So this is a tough call, man, because I don't expect a whole lot from either team. It's
right.
At Philly. I guess I got to go with the home team on this one. I got to go with Philly. Oh, you know what? If Carson Wentz is playing, no. I'm going with Cleveland. I'm not going to take the rookie quarterback in the first start. I'm going to go with Cleveland.
And if it probably wasn't Cleveland, a team is trash, a team that has very little talent on both sides of the ball, I'd agree with you. But Philly does have better players on the defensive side of the ball. You know, RG3 decent in preseason. Nothing to write home to mama about. And the rookie quarterback, every now and then those guys get off to a decent start. Then people get a little film of them. Then that's when all hell breaks loose. So with that being said, I'll go with Philadelphia in one of those games where if the ground opened up, nobody would notice.
Hey. I like the Browns, man. I would notice.
Nobody would notice. Nobody cares
there.
About
I got
nobody
I
cares
friends.
About
I don't want my friends.
That's
I don't want
fault.
My friends swapped up by the ground. No. Now, Los Angeles and San Francisco, have at it.
No. Cleveland and Philly. Don't do that.
LeBron,
man. That is a trash
man.
Game.
LeBron might get swallowed up in the mix. No.
Good. Him and his head. They can get swallowed up too.
All right, let's keep it going. Tampa Bay and Atlanta, Paris. You go. Let's see, is this the one I'm supposed to take first? I don't know. I think we lost it. I'll give you this one first. Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Who you got?
Tampa Bay and Atlanta? You know what? Give me Winston. You hear me? Give me Tampa Bay. I live on the wild side a little bit. Even though it's in ATL, they have a lot of new young players on D. And not a big Matt Ryan fan. I think Julio Jones might catch 120 passes this year. And, I mean, he'll be good for fantasy. I think Freeman is very overrated as a running back in general. And I don't know. I just sort of like what Tampa Bay has going on. I just sort of believe in Winston. I think he's going to be a real good NFL quarterback. Not saying he's going to be elite anything. I'm not going to pull up Jaws and say he's going to be the best quarterback in the NFL like he did with Kaepernick. But
he said top five all time. For the record.
Yeah, top five
record,
He said top five all time. Wow. Only Jaws.
And he might be the third best quarterback on the team right now.
Yeah, give me
only two spots to fall all time. All right, you're going to take Tampa Bay. I'm going to take Atlanta. I like what Tampa Bay is doing. Jameis is saying all the right things. He's showing in the preseason games, he's showing that he's been watching video, that he's been studying, and he's been working on his game. And I'm happy for the kid because he went through some stuff. So it's good to see that. Atlanta, they still have Julio. I know what you said about Devontae Freeman, but I think for this game, I think Atlanta is going to show up and show out. So I'm taking Atlanta in this one. You're taking Tampa Bay. All right, let's keep moving. Minnesota, Tennessee. This is a tough game to call. If Teddy Bridgewater wasn't hurt, I would take Minnesota without thinking twice because they have the better defense. And Teddy was actually looking good. Mariota has shown flashes. I don't know what the running game is going to do. Has potential, but, potential gets people fired. Minnesota's going through some stuff, man. They showed their desperation when they traded a first-round pick for a guy that might not last eight games in Sam Bradford. It's with trepidation that I am going to take Tennessee. I just can't pick Minnesota in this game because I don't know where their psyche is at right now with on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm going to go with Tennessee on this one.
Yeah, this is a tough one. you sort of worry about Minnesota offensively, just continuity wise. So I'll take Tennessee,
exactly.
Which I guess will be a mild upset, but give me the Titans.
Yeah, and I think it's worth mentioning nobody has forgotten about Adrian Peterson. But if you know that that's where they're going, then you put 8 in the box and you make Sam Bradford beat you. Either he will or he won't. I think that's where the game is going to come down to. Will Sam Bradford be able to make enough throws into one-on-one coverage with a little help over the top at times? I think that'll be the key. So, or AP is just going to be a beast and just run through people, one or the other. So let's keep it going. Cincinnati at New York. I'll let you take this one first.
Ooh,
at the Jets. Sorry. Let me make it clear. Cincinnati at the Jets.
Benny and the Jets. Ooh, the Bengals. Very talented roster. One day they have to win a playoff game. And the Jets, who surprisingly, what were they, 10-6 last year? They didn't make the playoffs. Ryan Fitzpatrick back in the fold. Matt Forte's been banged up this offseason. Brandon Marshall seems to miss the Bears more than the Bears miss Brandon Marshall. Everybody's feeling good in New York. Give me the Bengals.
Yeah. Cincinnati, I don't worry about Cincinnati in the regular season at this point. With that said, yes, I'm also taking Cincy. The Jets are a little banged up defensively, a little bit. Offensively, Matt Forte is Matt Forte. I'm not going to sit here and dog the man. But at the same token, Paris, we've seen how an offseason can make a running back go from being a very serviceable, very above-average guy to being a guy where you're wondering how many years does he have left on his contract.
I mean, remember what happened to Fred Jackson? It's like we blinked and Fred Jackson was like real old. And you're like, whoa, when did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah. Same thing with my man in Jacksonville. What was his name? The running back, short dude, stout. Maurice Jones-Drew was really good, and then he was gone. Sean Alexander, same thing. 2,000 yards, gone.
It happened.
Was it 2,000 yards or close to it or something? And then he was gone. So, yeah, I feel you on that. But, the Jets have the pieces. It's the regular season. I'm going to take Cincinnati. It's in New York, but I'm taking Cincinnati in this one. So we both took Cincinnati, right? Just want to make sure I'm clear on that.
Yes.
Okay, cool. The next game we have up is Oakland at the Saints. And I've been back and forth on this one. And, I know we have the
– Yeah, that's cool.
I've really been back and forth because I think Oakland is going to make – well, I don't want to make something happen. Oakland has made strides. I think they continue to make strides. I kind of look at Oakland offensively and just don't just take this with a grain of salt. I look at Oakland offensively as a young New Orleans team from some years ago when you had you had Drew Brees up and coming, when you had the receivers. Because they kind of want to get out and they want to throw the ball. They want to spread you out. And I can honestly see at some point Latavius Murray losing his job to Washington. Because I think Washington is a better fit for what they're trying to do. New Orleans is New Orleans. You know what Drew Brees is going to give you. The question is, will he give you enough of it before it's too late, before they're out of it? Whose defense? I think it's going to come down to whose defense stands up. Personally, I think Oakland's defense is going to stand up in New Orleans. I'm taking Oakland in this one, Paris.
This is a real tough one. This is an extremely tough game. I'm gonna take the Saints just because of the voodoo in the dome. Oakland's another team that's getting a lot of press. I think it might take a little while. Not really impressed with the Saints. I mean, last time we saw their defense, I mean, me and you could run by what they were doing back there in the secondary. So. but Drew Brees and the boys should be healthy. You got Khalil outkick the Saints.
I will admit, I like the addition of Fleener on the New Orleans offense. I like that addition. I think that gives Drew Brees another weapon because he used to.
Why
he used to use
let me ask you something. I know where you're going with this, and I don't mean to cut you off. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Kobe Fleener has just been a guy, right?
Yeah.
When you watch him, he's just been a guy. When Jimmy Graham was at the top of his game, Jimmy Graham was a bad, you know, watch your mouth. I mean, he was big, he was fast, he was a matchup nightmare. They could line him up at the wide receiver. Why does everyone think that Kobe Fleener has that type of talent? Because I don't think
I haven't heard anybody say that. I'm not saying you haven't. I'm saying I haven't. And if I had heard somebody say that Kobe Fleener was Jimmy Graham, I would have hit him with
not
the old school glove.
Not Jimmy Graham, but more of a, oh, man, Kobe Fleener at this offense. That's what I mean.
All I'm saying is that when you look at Ben Watson, he was able to make Ben Watson relevant. All I'm saying is that I think Kobe Fleener is a good receiver of the football. I think he can play in their offense. I think he's the kind of tight end that can produce in their offense. That's all I'm saying. I'm not comparing him to Jimmy Graham. I'm not saying that Kobe Fleener is great. I'm simply saying that I think that with Kobe Fleener, Drew Brees will go back to using the tight end. And I believe that that has the potential to open up some other things for the receivers, to open up some things for Willie Snead, to open up some things for – I'm having a brain cramp on my man, the number one receiver. But
Brandon Cooks.
That's all I'm saying. Brandon Cooks. I am in no way, shape, or form alluding to, comparing, coming close to saying that this dude is Jimmy Graham. In no way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think he's going to be. He had 50 catches. I know he had 50 catches, 8 touchdowns 1 year with Indiana. If he does that again, I think that'd be good. That's about what I see out of him.
And I think that's about. I think that's really all they need out of the tight end position. It just keeps people honest. I think that's all they need out of the tight end position is a receiving tight end that keeps people honest. If they get that, I think it opens up things for the receivers. So, either way. We'll keep it moving. We're kicking up to 8:30. Darvis, what's up, baby? We see you in there. San Diego, Kansas City. This is yours. You take this one first.
They do that chant there at the Kansas City games where they sort of steal the Florida State thing. Yeah, we're going to hear a lot of that. I'll take Kansas City in this. I think San Diego, low-key, has a chance to make it a run at the number one pick, maybe an injury here or there. Mr. Fake Girlfriend guy was actually on the bubble to be cut. I told people he wasn't going to be that good as a pro. Everybody told me, oh, no, this kid's going to be a stud. He's a jag. The only reason people know him is because he faked the girlfriend story. He's slow, can't get off block. Never was impressed with him. But anyway, I think Kansas City works out San Diego this game. Still think it should be a nice fantasy game for Mr. Keenan Allen, though, if you happen to have any stock in him. I think Melvin Gordon does okay. And I think Spencer Ware is a nice play since Mr. Bionic Knee won't be back. So, you know, if you drafted a running back and maybe feel a little iffy, this is the week to play Spencer Ware. So give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I have Spencer. I have Spencer Ware in one of my leagues. I'm one of the few people that actually likes Phillip Rivers. I'm one of the few people that likes Phillip Rivers. But with that said, I think Kansas City is better defensively. I think they're more consistent. I think San Diego is, and if you can run with this, you know, how you want. But I think San Diego is better offensively, meaning that they have the opportunity to strike quick. But I think Kansas City is more consistent. I think they will consistently move the ball up and down the field to put themselves in a scoring position. I can't dispute the pick of Kansas City on your side, I also am going with Kansas City. Next game up is Seattle and Miami. Just to make it real simple, I'm taking Seattle simply because of the defense. I noticed that Miami named Arian Foster the starter. So that gives him a little continuity for the first 3 weeks until he pulls a hamstring or whatever he's going to do this year. I don't know what Seattle's situation is with their running game. You know, Thomas Rawls looked like he was the guy, the next guy, and then they went out and drafted two halfbacks and signed Christian Michael. So I don't know, but Russell Wilson is going to do what Russell Wilson does, and the defense is going to do what they do. Plain and simple, I'm taking Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle, this game could get ugly. I have no faith in Ryan Tannehill to complete any passes over 10 yards. I'm serious. Good luck, Adam Gates, dealing with that guy, because every now and then they always bring up, you know, this guy didn't start playing quarterback until, you know, he was in college. And when they say that, I go, and that explains a lot. Because, you know, I'm like, yeah, that explains why he can't complete a pass over 10 yards. Maybe that's it. Yeah, I really, when I look at Miami, I'm just like, blah. You know, it's nothing really there interests me. On Seattle side, I like Wilson. You got to like angry Doug Baldwin because he's always pissed off at somebody. And we'll see if Jimmy Graham can come back and actually earn his keep. The defense should be good. As usual, you know, normal cast of characters. And I see them rolling over Miami. I don't see a lot of resistance, you know, as far as the Miami Dolphins this week.
Okay. Next game up. Now, we both have Seattle, just so it's out there. Detroit at Indianapolis. You got it.
Colts big. I like the Colts this year. You know, Andrew Luck, it's funny because out of my six fantasy teams, I ended up with Andrew Luck on four of them. He seemed to always be staring me in the face when it was time to draft a quarterback. And it's weird because last year, you know, going into the season, there was leagues where Andrew Luck was going second. You know, because everybody assumed, hey, after what he's done this past year, he's about to go crazy this year. And everybody loved him. And he went out, and that offensive line got him killed, and he stunk, and he was gone. So this year, everybody hates him. So I think that Andrew Luck sort of has a bounce back year. I don't like what they're doing at running back in Indianapolis. You've got to do better at Frank Gore. Like, for real. Like, really. You know what we talked about with Matt Forte? Yeah, Frank Gore is already there. It's just a matter of time. It's, you know, before you're like, okay, get this dude out of here. But it'll be enough at home against Detroit, who has their issues. They're replacing Megatron. You know, Marvin Jones, they say, might be the number one. And, you know, Tay to be the number two. The Detroit defense, not impressed. So I think this is sort of a comeback, you know, sort of a reawakening for the Colts. And I like the Colts to actually roll Detroit.
I don't think enough people are talking about how Indianapolis retooled their offensive line via the draft and free agency. I think the offensive line will be better. I think – well, I'll say this, and you know, you take this for what it's worth. You know my saying. Stats don't lie, but they don't always tell the truth. Now, Frank Gore finished as the 12th, depending on what league you were at or what your scoring system was. He was roughly the 12th scoring halfback in football, in fantasy football last year. I don't really know what that means, Paris. I just know that he wasn't as bad as I'd like him to be, either that or there weren't enough good halfbacks. But with that said, it goes back to the point of falling off and the immediate decline when you're looking at the halfback, the older halfback, the halfback over 30. And to your point, it makes you wonder – for the record, I'm picking Indianapolis, but it makes you wonder what they're doing in the general manager's office when it comes to the draft and free agency, that they aren't in the past couple of years haven't done a better job at trying to secure the next halfback for that team. You've got Luck in his prime years. You got to go out there and help the man a little bit. Detroit, I got nothing good to say about him. Matthew Stafford is going to put up a couple numbers, fantasy numbers, but it doesn't ever really equate to enough wins. Detroit has driven Barry Sanders to retire early. They've driven Megatron to retire early. Detroit just stinks, period.
Sort of like Cleveland.
Come on,
Cleveland,
man.
Detroit, same thing.
Cleveland hasn't run anybody. Cleveland has run people to Drake. They haven't run anybody to retire. Let's throw that out.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it going. Next game up, we have the Giants and Dallas. We both took Indianapolis. Okay, I'm taking the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dak Prescott's first game. I'm not a person that looks at the preseason and starts anointing people. I can't anoint a guy in the season. There's a reason he was a fourth round draft pick. Now that said, I'm hoping he does good, Paris. I want to see the kid be successful. I'm not one of those people that sits back waiting for failure. I'm not waiting for people to fail. But this ain't the preseason. These are grown men looking to hurt somebody and prove a point. Big rivalry in division. I'm taking the Giants, man. I'm taking the Giants. Until Dak Prescott proves me wrong, I'm taking the Giants until he goes out and does it in the regular season.
I'll take the Giants as well. I think Dallas is going to be putrid on defense. Dak Prescott, now, you know, this is for real. So no more vanilla defenses. Now we get that, quote-unquote, the exotic, and I'm doing my finger in the quotation marks thing. We get the exotic blitz packages that the NFL teams use. The Giants, they're another team that, you know, spent a whole lot of money trying to help a real bad defense from last year. I think they overspent in a couple areas. I think Janoris Jenkins is just okay. I think the defensive end carries, and I don't know about giving that guy that much money, but hey, they're smarter than me. What do I know? But with that being said, I think Dallas is going to be very bad on defense. And he's a rookie quarterback. He's at home. And it's Dallas. I mean, isn't it just set up for them to somehow look like they're going to win and then something bad happens and they lose? I mean, it's Dallas. That's what happens. So give me the shot.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let's say they get set up to win, and instead of saying something bad happens, let's say they look like they're going to win and Tony Romo gets hurt. Or Tony Romo fumbles the ball at the goal line. Or Tony Romo throws an interception. Let's call it what it is. It all hinges on Romo. Most of the bad stuff that's happened to them, by hook or by crook, has fallen in the lap of Romo. Or the back.
It'll be Dak's turn. And Dak will throw a key interception or maybe Elliott fumbles. I mean, it's going to happen. It's okay. It's Dallas. We don't like them.
Yeah, it's not a real good look. And you just brought up something. It's not a real good look when you come into the season and you've got a starting quarterback that was a fourth-round pick that's a rookie, and your starting halfback is a rookie. And I'm not questioning whether Elliott can run. I watched the kid play. I know he can run. I'm not questioning whether he can block. I know the kid can block. My question is, can a rookie quarterback and a rookie halfback be on the same page to the point where they're pointing out assignments, making the right calls to put people in the proper place to make those blocks? That's my concern with Dallas. And I'm actually going to be watching that game for one obvious reason, because, you know, I want to see what Ezekiel Elliott does, but I also want to see what Prescott does, and I want to see what ODB does, since I ended up drafting him first in the league. I'm looking at my board right now on my wall in the man cave. So I haven't even taken it down yet. So let's keep it going. We both took the Giants on that one. New England at Arizona. Wow. Who went first last time, me or you? So we keep it even. Did I take the Giants?
I think I did.
Okay, then with this game, with Tom Brady, this would be a really good game. And it still might be a good game, quite honestly. But it makes it easier for me to pick Arizona because there's no Tom Brady. David Johnson will have his first official, you know, opening game of the season, opening games, opening day start. A lot of expectations, specifically from a fantasy standpoint. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. New England, they've got a new tight end. And my man, I'm having a brain cramp once again. Bennett. They have Bennett there.
Mm-hmm.
The halfback situation is, who knows what the halfback situation is with New England. I avoided New England halfbacks this fantasy year at all costs. I wanted nothing to do with any of them. I avoided them all.
I don't think I've ever had them. Never.
I had Deion.
Never.
I had Deion. I picked up Deion Lewis last year in free agency, and he was doing me justice until he got hurt. But with that said, I'm taking Arizona. Paris, who do you have?
I like Arizona. I think Garoppolo is gonna be Garoppolo out here in the desert. I think this is the year for Arizona. If they're gonna win the Super Bowl, this is the year. If not, it's not gonna happen. I think their offense is going to be real good, real explosive. We know Carson Palmer is going to throw the ball around a lot. Is Floyd ever going to break out like we all think that maybe he could? Because when you
who is that?
Michael Floyd for Arizona.
Floyd, Michael,
you know,
Floyd. Okay, Michael Floyd.
If you look at him and he looks like the prototypical wide receiver. I mean, he sort of does a little bit of everything. You know, he can go deep, he can, you know, the lob passes, you know, good speed, good hit. But for some reason, he's either hurt. He's one of those guys that, like, he's probably questionable already. You know, he's just one of them dudes. But sooner or later, he has to put it together. And I think this is a contract year. You know how I feel about contract years. All of a sudden, things don't hurt no more. So I think he finally has his breakout season. I love David Johnson this year. I wish CJ2K would disappear. You know, he's one of those guys I was eating lunch today. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about certain players. You just wish one of them would go away. You don't want nothing bad to happen to him, but just like me. You know, like Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill. One of those guys needs to just – something happen to him where they just leave for a whole year. And that's how I feel about David Johnson. You know, I don't wish bad on nobody, but for fantasy person reasons, just like take a year off to visit your mother or something. I don't know. Just go away. So give me the Cardinals on Sunday night. I'll be looking forward to that. And on a personal note, this is when being married, this is when we get to that awkward stage, right? Because for the past 3 months, my wife, you know, Sunday night is usually our time, right? That's, you know, our TV time. We cook dinner, then we sit down and watch our shows. You know, we watch Ballers, we watch Fear the Walking Dead, we watch The Last Ship, you know, we watch the Tay Diggs show. I can't remember the name of it now, but we watch that show. We watch like four shows every Sunday. But now it gets bad because now this is the Sundays where I keep telling her, I'll be down in 10 minutes. I'll be down in 10 minutes. I'll be down in 10 minutes.
I wish you the best.
Yeah. But hey, it is what it is. She should be used to it.
Yeah, good
now.
Luck with that.
But give me a result.
That's why I'm not married. I'm gonna keep on riding. Keep on riding with that for another month and a half.
For a month and a half, right?
I'm gonna ride. I'm gonna ride this not married thing out, brother. I'm gonna ride.
Hey, do what you gotta do. Do whatever makes you feel good. However, for whatever makes you sleep better at night, you roll with it, brother. You roll with it.
All right, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Pittsburgh at Washington. It's on you. Oh, we both took Arizona for the record. Pittsburgh and Washington.
Ooh, Pittsburgh and Washington. Ooh, the Josh Norman saga begins. Now, I feel like I'm one of the only people in the world that actually liked this Josh Norman kid last year.
The one thing I liked about Josh Norman, and because I watched a lot of Carolina games, I watched him evolve slowly. I remember when they played in the preseason, and he was kind of celebrating and making a lot of noise and drawing the cameras full.
Right.
And even the year before, he had started to kind of make a couple plays. So I've watched him evolve into what he is. I like Josh Norman. Now, whether he can play or not, you know, man-on-man coverage, we'll have to find out. But I like Josh Norman. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I didn't want you to feel you were the only one that liked Josh Norman.
You know, and that whole coverage scene, you know, I listen to a lot of NFL Network, and I was listening to this, you know, Greg Cosell. He's one of the guys who does the NFL Edge matchup show. And he was on the radio, and he was talking about how Josh Norman was in man coverage about 70% of the time. And it takes me back to something. I'll never forget, a long time ago, listening to an interview with Peanut Tillman. And the guy was talking to him about being a zone corner, you know, because of the cover two thing. And I remember Tillman laughing and going, you know, we're only in our base defense about 35% of the time. He said, otherwise, we're doing other things, and I'm playing a whole lot of man back there, you know. And I think with Josh Norman, you know, he's not, because he doesn't play the slot, and I think a lot of people are discrediting him too much and just saying he's a zone corner, because the guy plays a lot of man. You know, he matches up with the other team's number one wide receiver, long as they don't go in a slot. With that being said, here comes Mr. Antonio Brown in town. I think this is going to be a real good game, man. And because Pittsburgh's defense is that good, I think we could see a shootout, like a 37 or 34 type thing. You like that? Yeah, that type of thing. So with that being said, though, give me Pittsburgh. To go on to the nation's capital and start out 1-0. And Big Ben, stay healthy. And Reed, you do your thing, because I actually drafted him this year in the league.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it sweet, short and sweet. Pittsburgh, Washington, don't know what they're doing with the run game. Don't know who's really good. Don't know if Matt Jones is healthy or not.
Yep, he said he's good. He's good. He's ready to roll.
Yeah, I know what he said, but, you know, I've said a lot of stuff, too, in my life, and it wasn't always true. I don't know. But even if he is healthy, I'm taking Pittsburgh because I think they can stop them. I don't think Washington's defense can stop Pittsburgh's offense. And to your point, really looking for Jordan Reed to do something because I got him in two leagues. Okay, we both took Pittsburgh. We're down to the last game, the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. If there was a way to predict a tie, I mean, if I want to predict a tie, like 10-10 tie, but I got to pick a winner. I can't predict a tie, but just know that I think it's going to be a boring game, except for Ty Gurley.
Right.
I'm taking the Rams on GP just because they have the one player that stands out. I really have no other reason to pick a winner in this game. San Francisco does nothing to impress me. The Rams have done nothing to impress me. I'm taking the Rams because of Ty Gurley and no other reason appears. That's all I got, bro.
I will take the Rams.
Yeah.
I have a little stock in Tavon Austin as a flex. I think he'll be used a lot. You know, I think he's the type of guy that every game, you know, can get you about 10 to 12 points, you know.
Is this the year we see the Austin that we've expected to see?
Well, this is all I expected for him. I mean, he's a gadget player. That's what he is. He'll never be like your prototypical number one wide receiver. He's a gadget guy. He's for, you know, a lot of his points off, you know, reverses and things like that. That's just what he does. That's how he scores. He's like a better Devin Hester, who also, he got paid a nice chunk of change here a couple weeks ago. And speaking of the Rams, you know, Hard Knocks, in my opinion, is one of the best shows on TV. Maybe it's just because I'm a football guy. But the Rams have maybe not even liked that show. If that, I don't know if you watched it this year, but it's really bad because the Rams just suck. They have no personality. Jeff Fisher sucks. The team sucks. I mean, don't do that no more, HBO. Find an interesting team. San Francisco, the only interest in San Francisco is because of Colin Kaepernick and the stand that he took against violence in his nation at the hands of police officers. If it wasn't for that, nobody would be paying attention to San Francisco. And the only reason people will be watching to see, you know, the national anthem before the game, the other players join him and now kneeling. So with that said, give me Washington. And what does it say about Washington and Jared Goff? Is I believe now he's inactive for the first game. The number one pick is inactive for the first game.
It tells me that they're smart. Don't throw him to the wolves if he's not ready. The last thing you want to do is ruin his confidence day one. It tells me that they actually have a plan. What that plan is, parents, we don't know. But they actually have a plan because they're not just going to throw him out there and say, go get him.
Wait a minute. Wait. Now, can we assume that they have a plan, or is it like many of us think that he's just not ready? And if he was ready,
that's my point. I don't think he's ready, and I think they're smart enough to say. And maybe plan is the wrong word, but I think they're smart enough to know he's not ready. We're not going to throw him to the wolves and screw with his head. Game one of his career, week one of his career, and
if there'll
he's
be
not
plenty
ready,
of time for that later.
Exactly, there will be plenty. But if he's not ready, it doesn't make sense to throw him out there just to throw him out there. The other side of that, Jeff Fisher is terrible. I don't know how this dude. I watched one episode of Hard Knocks, Paris, and the one episode I watched is where he was talking about expectations and winning, and all I kept he was saying something different, but all I heard was, you know, I've only been over 500. I kept listening to him talk, and I'm like, this dude is talking like he's a championship caliber coach.
Yeah, like
even
why
the
is
players
he talking
have to,
like he's good.
Right, even the players have to be like, dude, you know we went on the internet, right? You know we know what your record is, right? I don't know. I don't understand how this guy is still getting jobs. Not, I'm going to rephrase that. I don't know how this guy is getting head coaching jobs.
Yeah, you
I
know,
don't
it comes
understand.
A point in time to where, and you know, because I was listening to a couple of these speeches, and it's funny you say that because I was thinking the same thing where, you know, a lot of these dudes, they all think like, just like us, they just have to be, you know, in the pros. And I'm sure they're sitting back and thinking like, okay, but like, when is the last time you won something? Because he was really talking like, this is what we have to do. And I'm like, dude, but like, when is the last time you won something tangible? And, you know, just watching him and just watching the show in general. And when they ask Goff, you know, does the sun rise in the east or the west? And he really came off like a real, like, not smart guy the entire time just watching the show. You know,
that was the episode I watched, yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's just TV, and I know they can sort of tilt things the way they want it to appear. But he just came off as a real unsmart individual, and that's usually not good
the
at
first,
quarterback position.
Now I was just going to say, the first thing I thought was, this is your quarterback?
Yeah. Quarterback can
be
a lot of things, but you can't be dumb.
You can have all the talent. You can have all the talent in the world, Jamarcus Russell. You can,
right.
You can have the strongest arm. You can run, but if you can't think, if you can't read a defense, if you can't think on the fly and adjust, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Well, we are down to our last few minutes, Paris. We have gotten our pick out of the way. We'll have to, like I said, we'll keep out sometime in the next couple of days. I'll do a better job of putting these somewhere else. I don't know where. We might have to go to ESPN and start a one-on-one pick where we can keep up with it that way. Or I could just write it down, use a different sheet of paper every week and just do the wins and losses and just add them up week by week. But
I mean,
that statement, we're down to our last couple minutes. What's up?
It's your call. However you want to do it.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Since I'm the quote unquote main guy. I think I've been railroaded. So
cool.
It's about that time out here, man. So what are your closing thoughts? And next week, I don't know how you feel about it. Next week, I would like to give a few comments on Kaepernick. I just felt this week, there's been so much in the past couple of weeks on Kaepernick, and we didn't do a show last week. I just wanted to focus on football this week. I wanted to get the first week in, talk about some football. Next week, I'll give my thoughts on the Colin Kaepernick situation. If you would like to, you could as well. But what are your closing thoughts for this week?
I mean, real quick, I'll just mention Kaepernick briefly and say, I hope now that enough time has passed and a lot of emotions have died down and we sort of like stop keeping score of, you know, who's going to stand, who's going to sit, who says he shouldn't do this, who shouldn't. And hopefully we can get to the point now where what he was talked about is actually discussed. Because that was my only thing with all this is like, you know, we are spending so much time talking about standing up, sitting down, placing your hand over your heart, kneeling versus sitting, the national anthem. A verse in the national anthem that 70% of the people didn't even know existed until the Colin Kaepernick situation. I probably could bump that number up to 90. We're spending so much time going in circles over that, that his actual message and what he's actually trying to accomplish and what he's actually talking about is receiving very little to no airtime. And hopefully now we can get to a point, and the next phase is going to be this Sunday, this Thursday, this Sunday, because now it's, okay, who's going to stand, who's going to sit, who's going to do this, who's going to do that.
And you know
that once all that passes, right, and now once all that passes, I hope that we can get back to the task and have open dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what his plan is, but I'm sure he has one. I'm interested to see what is his plan moving forward. Because I know the brother needs to do more than the general blanket statement of, you know, we need to be better, police, community relations need to be better. We all agree with that. We all feel that. But I have a feeling that he has a distinct plan to where he's going to try – to at least do his part in bridging that gap and helping. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I commend him on that. Like I said, I'm one of those people to whereas, you know, especially when it comes to athletes, entertainers, all those type of people, if they choose to speak out, great, but I don't condemn guys if they don't. That's just me personally, because I always believe in personal accountability first. And that's the road that we don't like to go down in our communities. That's a whole other show. Personal accountability first before looking at someone else to sort of lead. I don't need a leader. I lead. Always been my mentality. But when a guy like this does step out like that, I also commend him for that because he's trying to do something a little bit bigger than himself. And, you know, everybody thinks different about these things, you know, and only thing I don't like, quite honestly, Corey, is how it turns into, instead of sort of just supporting Kaepernick and what he's doing, sometimes we start shooting at others and calling other people cowards, you know. Russell Wilson's a coward. He never would have done this. You know, Cam Newton, and that always gets away from the message. You know, I see no advantage in being divisive at this point in time. That's not what we need, to be shooting at each other.
I'm going to say this, and then we're going to go. We're down to literally like the last. As a matter of fact, I think we might not even get out of here. I'll save my comments for next week because we are getting the countdown in my ear. We are out of here. We'll see everybody next week.
Peace.
Appreciate everybody for listening. Come back next week, same time, same phone number. Holla at you.
it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, Mike Knox really keeps his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh, listen anyway.